Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are learning about the third petition of Christ in His high priestly prayer, the third petition that is for His followers, as it is found in John 17:17, where He says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth." Praying to the Father, He prays that His disciples, His followers, might be sanctified, that is, might be made holy, might be separated from the world and dedicated to God and to His service. Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. The process by which this sanctification takes place is the Word of God. That's how it's done. The Word of God. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so any other suggestion, any other proposal by which the people of God are said to be sanctified is wrong. The sanctification process takes place through the operation of God's Word, empowered by the Spirit of God, in the souls of God's people. And so we'll continue talking about that in a moment, but first of all, let me pause and welcome you to this Friday, August 8th, Beacon Broadcast. And secondly, let me encourage you to write for our Cassette of the Month number 8, a Beacon Pulpit Bible study entitled, "Does Election Make Man a Robot?" Does election make man a robot? From Romans chapter 9, verses 19 through 21. And you can have a copy without cost if you will write to me and give me your name and return address, the call letters of this station, and indicate your desire for Cassette of the Month number 8. You can write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or email me at beacon@netpath.net. Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. And the question is, how does the Word of God sanctify the people of God? And it is as we give careful attention to and constant application of the various parts of God's Word to our lives. We have to believe it all. That is, there must be a commitment that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. But the Bible's a big book. I've been studying it now for a good many years, and I still have many things that I need to learn. I feel like I am continually learning. I feel like I'm learning something new, sometimes every day, sometimes maybe only every week or so, but I constantly feel, as I'm studying the Word of God, that I'm learning something new, some new insight, some new understanding that I did not have before. And that's the way the Word of God is. And the only way that you can learn, what should I say, learn the difficult stuff is to make sure that you properly learn the more simple stuff. That's the way it works. You have to get the building blocks in place. And so it's a process of studying, learning, and growing. The more you understand correctly, the more you will be able to understand more things correctly. But to the extent that you are believing something that is not true, to the extent that you are misunderstanding some portion of God's Word, to that extent, other areas of God's Word are going to be blocked from your understanding. And so there must be this constant work of digging into the Bible and learning and applying little pieces of it, because that's all we can handle at a time, little pieces of it, and always checking what we think we're learning from those little pieces against the whole. From time to time, I will arrive at something that I think is true, and later on I find it's not. I had that experience recently where a minister in another city wrote to me and said, I heard you say such and such several years ago, and I've never heard anybody else teach that, and I just wondered where you found that. And to my embarrassment, I had to write him back, email him back, and say, I was wrong about that. I thought I had discovered something in this passage that I had not seen before, and before weighing it carefully and checking it carefully with other parts of God's Word, I just went ahead and proclaimed what I had found. But the problem was that it was wrong. There just is a little nuance in the verb tenses that made what I thought I saw not to be exactly correct. And so I have to correct that. And that's the way it is. We are constantly learning, constantly growing, but constantly checking what we are learning against the whole. Little pieces at a time is what we are working on, because that's what we have to work on. That's the only way we are capable of approaching the Word of God. We have to start somewhere and work with where we are, what we've got. And as we begin to put the pieces together, put pieces into place, a building begins to rise. And the more truth we put into the building of our biblical understanding, the more comprehensive our biblical understanding will be. But we keep working at it and working at it and working at it. And there's no end to this in this life. And I don't know if there's even any end to it in the life to come. But there certainly is no end to it in this life. We're always building. We're always adding rooms. We're always refining, sometimes just flat out correcting. I was flat wrong. And other times, and I think more likely, just saying, well, I understood that correctly as far as it went. But what I didn't understand was this other truth, which when laid alongside this one, does help to shape and refine this one in a slightly different direction. So, yes, that's true, but it has to be understood in connection with this particular truth. And so we just keep working at it, keep working at it. And all the while, we've got to be cleansing away sin in our lives as well as error in our understanding. In a sense, they're one and the same. An error is anything that is wrong. It might be something wrong in my understanding. It might be something wrong in my behavior. And when it's wrong in my behavior, that's sin, sinful behavior, behavior that is contrary to the revealed will of God. When it's an error in my understanding, that may not be a sin, but nevertheless, it has an effect upon my life similar to sin. Sin will block my proper understanding of God's Word. Error will block my proper understanding of God's Word. So we are working to understand and to apply the individual pieces of God's Word, all the while clearing away errors to our understanding and sinful behavior. What are we doing? We are applying the washing of the water of the Word to our lives, Ephesians chapter 5. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, Romans 12, 2. We are cleansing our ways. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, obviously, for this to take place, the sanctifying work to take place, there must be a constant exposure to the truth. Maybe I should say there should be, first of all, a desire for the truth, because if there's no desire, it's unlikely that there will be much exposure. If you don't desire to know God's Word, I doubt that you're going to be exposed to much of God's Word. People make all kinds of decisions in their lives based upon their desires. Why do you read the Word of God every day? Well, I trust it's because you have a desire to understand what it says. Why do you fail to read God's Word on a regular basis? Oh, you say, it's not for lack of desire, it's just because I'm busy. Well, that's true, and some people are busier than others, and yet, if I would look at your busy schedule, every one of you, If you would let me track your busy schedule from the first thing in the morning to the last thing at night, I'm certain I could find some places in your daily schedule where you could read the Word of God if you wanted to. But you see, you have other things that you put in that place. It might be reading the newspaper, might be watching the news on television. It might be just sitting down and relaxing, doing nothing. I'm amazed at how many people I see who waste their meals. Mealtime's a wonderful time. Now, if you're eating with someone, then that's what you're doing with your mealtime. In addition to eating, you're fellowshipping with some member of your family or someone else. But a lot of times, I eat a lot of meals alone, a lot of lunches in particular, but even some suppers when I'm away from home and busy about my schedule, and I don't go home for lunch, and sometimes I don't go home for supper, and I just run out to a restaurant. Sometimes, most often, I would say a fast food restaurant. I know that isn't the healthiest way to eat, but that's another subject for another time. But I sit and eat and read. You say, do you read your Bible sometimes? I was sitting at McDonald's the other day, reading my Bible, as I often do, really not paying much attention to anything that was going on around me, just sitting, reading, quiet place, and this man came along and commented. He said, it's not very often you see somebody sitting there reading a Bible at McDonald's, and I don't remember what I said in reply, but he noticed. I didn't do it to be noticed, believe me. I did it because I wanted to read the Word of God. More often in restaurants, I'll be reading a book or a Christian periodical. It's a good time to catch up on my magazine reading, and I get a lot of good magazines and excellent articles, excellent material, just so stimulating and thought-provoking and helpful to my understanding of the Word of God, and I love to get into those things. And so that's a way to study the Word of God, to make use of my mealtime. But I look around in the restaurants, and I see that most people are eating with someone, but there's always a certain percentage, I don't know, 20-25% of the people who, like me, are eating alone, and almost invariably, they're sitting there, just eating and sort of staring out the window, staring off into space, lost in their thoughts. I say almost invariably. I suppose if I were taking a percentage, I suppose maybe 25-33% of people eating alone are reading something, like I am, but I would say the majority are not. Sitting there alone, doing nothing, so to speak. And I don't know all of these people. Some of them I do know, but many of them I don't know. Don't know what their schedules are like. Don't know whether they're a Christian or not. But I just look at that and I say, that's a shame, because that's wasted time. You say, well, I'm doing something. It's not wasted time. I'm eating. I've got to eat. It's not wasting time to eat when you need to eat. Your body needs food. Yes, but it's a time when you could be doing something else in addition to eating, something very productive in addition to eating. You could be reading your Bible. You could be reading something about the Bible. You could be learning truth that will sanctify your life. You could be participating in the answer to Christ's high priestly prayer when he prayed to his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, I hope this will stimulate you to get into the Word of God more, to discipline yourself to do it, because if you are a child of God, I'm confident that you do have a desire to do so. And so until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.